Have you ever met somebody that you would say is just, you know, important? Maybe you think, you know, maybe it was a business person, or you think in your life when you were younger, it was a, you know, for me, it was always about like a sports figure, if I could ever meet this person. Maybe for some, I've got some friends that have met, had some pictures with some political people. I've got a friend that met Ronald Reagan before, and I remember seeing a picture of it. Or, you know, again, somebody that was just in the field of work that you're in, and they're just killing it. I mean, they're doing it. They're a little further down the road than you, and you're just excited to meet them. And then when, you know, this has happened to me a time or two with certain pastors I'm thinking about right now, and you were introduced, and yet when you were introduced to them, the person that you thought was going to be a certain way wasn't what you thought they were going to be. They were aloof, they were distant, they were looking over your shoulder trying to meet the next person. There was really no interaction. Who you thought they were wasn't what they wound up becoming. I remember seeing a video, and I don't know if you saw it, and maybe some of you did, back 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, when King Charles, before he was inaugurated, he was signing some documents, and I remember the video was kind of looking this way, and Charles was sitting here on his desk, and the desk is, you know, bedazzled with everything and the royalty, and the person was right here, one of his attendants, and he gave him a pen to sign the document, and the pen didn't work. His pen didn't work, and the camera was again, it was an awful shot, but a perfect shot. That Charles looked at the guy and just kind of like this scowl on his face, this disdain on his face. How dare you give me a pen that didn't work? And he just kind of, and he got another pen, and he signed the documents. And just to be honest with you, to be clear this morning, I'm not going to throw any shade at Charles, because I found myself that sadly I've done something like that multiple times. I wasn't humble. I didn't act that way. I acted a little arrogantly. I acted in a way that was unbecoming what the scripture says. When King Charles, maybe you remember, you know, again, about a year and a half ago or something like that, last year, 2023, when King Charles was crowned, and all the world was watching, that entire event, I don't know if you remember, but that entire event cost $91 million. One day event. What I want you to do is I want you to lean in with me for the next several minutes as we talk about an event that happened without pomp, without pride, without arrogance, as we look at the life of Jesus when he came into the earth. And we look at what he did, not only when he came, but what he did and what he did when he left the earth. And us to glean this one word all morning long, we're going to talk about humility. Amen. And how the important of it is in our life and the necessity of it in our life as we deal with interpersonal relationships and we deal in our actions and our attitudes towards God as well. Read with me in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Lots of scriptures. Follow with me on the screen or take some notes this morning. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinus was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, verse 5, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, or his fiance, who was with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, we know who this is Jesus, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, when we take what we saw with Charles, and again, no shade. It's the pomp, the splendor, you know, pretty soon, I guess on, January 20th, we're going to have a change with leadership here in our nation. And while it won't be anything like that, but it will be, you know, there'll be some pride and some pomp and some show, if you will. But you take that versus what is happening now as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is coming into the earth. No room in the inn. No comfort, no ease. Jesus was born. The scripture kind of paints the picture, and we have different views, and we don't exactly know the manger he was in, but it was, we seemingly think that it was a cave-like stable surrounded by animals, and he was placed in a feeding trough, born with only his parents there. Later, shepherds came to speak of what they saw. Listen to me. He left heaven for that. So I want to talk to you today about this characteristic that Jesus has that needs to be in all of us that the scripture explicitly talks about, and it's humility. We see this at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, when he went and was led by the Spirit to go into the wilderness, and the scripture says he was tempted for 40 days. And we read the three temptations. By the way, he was tempted, the scripture says, for 40 days by the devil. We read three. Just caveat. In the third recorded temptation by the devil, Luke says this in Luke 4, then he, the devil, Satan, the accuser, the serpent, brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he, God, shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. Verse 11, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, come on, read it out with me. It has been said, come on, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. This was the devil's attempt. This was his attempted trap to lure Jesus to show how powerful he was. But if he did, if Jesus took the bait, if he took the bait, he would be acting in pride, in arrogance, and seeking glory and honor for himself, not seeking glory and honor to the Father. The trap of the enemy was to take pride, stand in arrogance that I could do it, and God would take care of me. Amen. So Jesus, look on the screen. Jesus recognized the trap, and he knew that he was loved by the Father before he did anything for the Father. Amen. I'm loved by the Father. I don't need to do this. I don't need to act out in this. I don't need to be proud. I don't need to puff up my chest. I don't need to jump down and bounce back off the ground. I don't need to levitate here. I'm loved by the Father. I'm known by the Father. I don't have to do anything for the Father to be loved by the Father. I am his beloved son. You are too. But what we find is that this is what Jesus did, and this is where the rubber meets the road with all of us. He crucified his flesh and yielded to humility. Listen to me. Humility won't kill you, but it will kill your flesh.
Amen. That's good. That's real good.
It will kill your flesh. Then during the 3.5 years of Jesus' public ministry, the gospel writers show us what Jesus did, what he taught, what he said. On one occasion, towards the end of his public ministry before the cross, it says in John 13, it says, when it was time for supper, the devil already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had given him, notice this, Jesus knew the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would be given and be returned back to God. He got up, verse 4, from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist. Notice, God wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around them. Pick it up in verse 12. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord, your teacher, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth. Slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing these things. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
So Jesus is not saying every Sunday needs to be foot washing Sunday. But what Jesus is saying is that every Sunday, every Monday, every day of the week, all throughout your life, you need to have a servant's heart on to take off your garment, to put on the garment of a servant, to bow your knee to other people, specifically your family first, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, your church brothers and sisters, and the world, and to serve humbly one another. This is what I've done, he says. You're not greater than me. And I've shown you the way. This is the way of humility.
Yeah.
You talk about radical humility. That's why Peter says, man, Jesus washed his feet. And Peter says, dear Lord, wash everything.
Right.
Wash everything. And it's interesting when you read the account later on, I don't know what gospel writer said it, but later on, these same disciples were fighting among themselves and remember what they were fighting about? Who's going to be the greatest?
Yes. Yes.
Who's going to be the greatest? And Jesus was just, I'm thinking, just let's just take them out right now. Come on, just pop them all right now. Let's get some new guys. You guys, can you imagine when Jesus left, these were the guys he left in charge. So how many know there's hope for all of us, everybody? Come on, everybody. We're in good company today. And he told them again, the greatest among you will be servant over all. Humility. Humility. The Savior of the world lays down his life for others. Someone said this phrase, that if you're too big to serve, you're too small to lead. So if you're too big to serve, you're too small to lead. You're never going to lead anything. There's something about serving that will just make you humble yourself to say, you get serving downstairs in kids ministry and you go, dear God, is this even worth it? But if you stick around church for about 20 years, you see them still little booger noses down there. All of a sudden be leaders in the church, getting married, serving Jesus. Amen, everybody? Come on. Come on. Yeah. So it's all worth it. Come on. It's all worth it. It's all worth it. Yeah. So if you're just too big to serve, you're just too small to lead. And so Jesus is teaching us this whole thing about humility. They walk with Jesus. Listen, they live with Jesus. They listen to Jesus, but so many times, time after time, they really didn't get Jesus. But Jesus, in his humility, in his meekness, in his love for them, in his humility and meekness and love for us, he is committed to just keep working with us. But listen to me, you need to work humility in your life on a daily, daily endeavor. When you go to order your coffee and the person gives you whole milk instead of almond milk and you puff up like King Charles, come on, everybody, that ain't the end of the world. Come on, let's go. Let's just be a little humility, have some humbleness in our life. But here's what I realize, and I hope you do too, and this is just the fact. Let's be real this morning. Listen to me. Humility must be hard. It just must be hard. It doesn't come cheap, doesn't come free. For most people, it just doesn't come natural. We see Jesus coming humbly. Jesus starts talking about, where the devil tempts him in this and he doesn't act out. He submits to the power of God. Not going to be proudful and throw myself down. I'm not going to jump off here, give a big show. That's not what I've come to do. I could, but I'm not. That's not what God wants. And I bowed my knees. I washed your feet. I've given you something to do, given you something to continually do towards one another. And even at the end of his life, check it out. He's going to the cross. It says in Zechariah prophesies it in chapter 9. And we see this in the Gospels. Zechariah says this, rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming. How's he coming? He got a Bentley, got a Rolls with spinny rims? Look what he's coming on. He is righteous, he's victorious, yet he is humble. Riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. At his birth, during his life, during his ministry, even at death, Jesus was the humble king. What we realize, and what you realize when you read the scriptures, is that Jesus could have done anything, but this is what he wanted to do. He came, he lived, he served with humility. And we all, you know, I think everybody's pretty good at it. We all can pretty much smell pride, can't you? You can pretty much smell pride and arrogance and like somebody's just a little bit uppity. And what's that do? It's a repellent. It's a repellent. And so what I want to say this morning, listen, just look on the screen just for a second. Humility is attractional. It's just attractional. It draws us to God. And listen to me. It draws God to us. It's attractional. So if you want to get God's attention, let me encourage you. One of the ways you can do it is just live a humble life continually. Live a life that you're humble before him, humble before others, where you're not trying to come in and push your way around and be the bully and throw stuff and raise your voice and point fingers and be aggressive. Who wants to be around that kind of person? I don't know if God wants to be around that kind of person. Listen, so what we realize from the New Testament is this. In the kingdom, the way down is the way up. The lower you go, the higher you rise. The lower you go, the higher you rise. What we see is that humility, the word actually means to be low or lowly. How? Low in your mind, low in your attitude, low in your speech, low in your action with one another. Not coming in, you know, again, fully loaded. God, we're going to blow everybody up here. You come in meek, you come in lowly, you come in humbly in a lot of situations. Now, there might be a couple situations you need to come in with just guns loaded, if you know what I mean. Because somebody's coming aggressively at you. And you just need to figure that out, be led by the Spirit. But I think overall, what we see in the life of Jesus is that he was the humble servant and he took the low way, and we see God continually working with him, getting things changed in his life around with, whether it was religious leaders. Think with me, when Jesus, they grabbed him one time and they were going to throw him off a cliff. He just walks right through the midst of them. Is it the power of God? Yes. Was it the plan of God? Yes. Was it not time for him to die? Yes. But all that factors in that the life he lived was a life and a lifestyle of ultimate humility. Amen. Humility, listen to me, is attractional to God and his power and his word and his goodness. The scripture says this in Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself, what's going to happen? Is going to be exalted. It's going to be exalted. So this is what we do. You don't want God to humble you. And you don't want man to humble you. So the scripture is speaking to us and it says, what? Humble yourself. So this is the attitude, this is the action, this is the mindset that we all have, humble ourselves. If we humble ourselves, the scripture says, you'll be exalted. Now the culture of the world says and tells us to exalt yourself. Exalt yourself, you can back it up, you're going to be exalted. and many times you don't even have to back it up. But somebody, you get a gang and they just love you so much and just say, man, this guy's a loser, but he thinks he's something, so I guess he's something. That's opposite in kingdom culture. Kingdom culture says the way down, come on everybody, is the way up. So how low can we go in serving our spouse? How low can we go in serving our families? How low can we go in serving one another? How low can we go in being a blessing in everything that God's brought into our life? Some antonyms, again, the opposites of humility. Look on the screen. Proud. Ever known somebody like that? Proud or arrogant, egotistic, cocky, conceited, superior, pompous, pretentious, pushy. These are all things, guys, we do not want in our life. We want to stay clear from this. This is not the Jesus lifestyle. James says this in James 4, 6. Check it out. God resists the proud, but gives, come on, yell it out, grace to the humble. No, notice, it's not even the devil. Could your fight be against God and not the devil? When God's saying, you just won't humble yourself. You won't humble yourself to my word. You won't humble yourself to listen to wisdom. You won't humble yourself to listen to authority. You won't humble yourself to listen to what I'm telling you to do. So he says this, God resists you. God will resist me. God resists the proud, the arrogant, the cocky, the pretentious. Amen. But what's he going to do? He's going to give us grace. Grace to the humble, to the humble, to the lowly. Those in the attitude of my mind, the attitude of my in my action, my heart, my desire to lower myself. Then Peter picks this up. James says something similar, but Peter picks it up in his gospel. Or his letter. And he says in 1 Peter 5, something really interesting. Again, he says this, humble yourself. Come on, read it with me, will you? Come on, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Come on, we say due time, due time. So again, here it is again. God resists the proud, James says, but gives grace to the humble. So Peter says, James says it too in verse 10, but Peter says this in verse chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourself, there it is again, therefore under God's mighty hand. So notice this, humble yourself, lower yourself under God's mighty hand that he may what? Where's his hand now? Come on, where's his hand? It's under me. It was here. Humble myself under God's mighty hand. Get it? Get the picture? That he may lift you up in due time. You are not able nor chosen to lift yourself up. Amen. That is the choosing of God. I'm not chosen to lift myself up to be something God hasn't called me to be. And this is where everybody gets in trouble. I want what they want. I want to do what they're doing. And you try to lift yourself up and you are out from under the hand of God. Because you have not stayed humble under his hand until you and I get a due time. There will always be a due time. But sometimes you got to cook it for 3 hours and sometimes you got to cook it for 3 minutes. I'm not in charge of the cooking. I'm just in charge of the humbling. Amen. Come on, everybody. Amen. How come they got it? How come they? I don't know. I don't know. But all I'm going to do is stay under his hand. How many know that's a good place to be, everybody? Amen. Stay under his mighty hand. The humble is never outside of his hand. His hand represents his power, represents his influence, represents his protection. Come on, everybody, represents his ability. So listen to me. This is what we do because this is what he did. He lived a humble life. We humble ourselves. This is what we do. Am I living a humble life, Lord? Is there anything in my life where I've gotten a little bit too over my skis? Anything that I'm thinking, I'm doing, I'm speaking, that I've gotten out from under your hand and I am trying to elevate myself before my boss, before others, and I'm trying to put this person down or stay under God's hand. Come on, it'll be good for you. It was good for Joseph when it didn't look like it was going to be good for Joseph. And he stayed under God's hand. and then God elevated him till second in charge and command of the most powerful nation of the earth. Listen to me. When you're under his hand, he will take you farther than you thought you could ever go. Come on, everybody. That's just good news. That's just good news. Come on, remember the Sermon on the Mount? Come on, let's go for a few more minutes. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. For the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven is theirs. Verse 5 says this, God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. Listen to me, to be poor in spirit is talking about a heart attitude of humility. It's dependence on God, need on God, not need on myself. I'm not poor in spirit, meaning poor, pitiful me. No, my need, I realize I need God. If I'm gonna see what God wants me to see, I'm gonna have to be connected with him, dependent on him, relying on him. So I'm gonna live humbly under his hand. And if he sees fit to do with me whatever I desire him to do, then praise the Lord. But there's probably gonna be some things that I thought he should do if for my life, maybe I don't get. Maybe I don't walk in. Maybe it's the business isn't as big. Maybe the family situations don't turn around overnight, but I'm going to stay under his mighty hand. Amen. Amen. Because one more time, a God word for a lot of you in the room, the due time is up to him. So stay humble. Stay humble. I like this scripture. It's a challenging scripture, but we can realize that when you look at some people's lives, as I've done this past couple of weeks thinking about it, Proverbs 18:12 says this, before a downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. The writer's saying, you can predict a person's downfall if pride is predominant. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Humility first, honor second. Honor first, listen to me, destruction second. Before a downfall, before somebody gets taken out by the enemy, there's always a haughty heart. I don't need God. I got this. I can handle this. This sin isn't so bad. What I'm doing, everybody's doing. But God's challenging you and telling you, don't. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Listen to me. If you've been elevated, it's because God wants you there to use your influence for other people. If God's blessed you with financial assets, it's because he wants you to use those to help other people. It's always about others. It's never about your education, your hard work, your diligence. All those things are added onto the ability God's already placed inside you. Yes, you worked that field. Yes, you multiplied that gift. Yes, but he gave you the ability. Humble yourself. Come on, everybody. Humble yourself. Philippians 2. Come on, you got time for a few more? Come on, we'll let you out. We'll let you out of church before the Methodists. Come on, we'll let you out in just a minute. Philippians 2, verse 5. You must have the same attitude. You must have the same attitude that Jesus had. Though he was God, he didn't think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up. God gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave, a servant, and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Listen to me. From the birth to his life, the 3.5 years of public ministry, he lived, you know, most believe about 30 years prior. Of course, he lived, his father was a carpenter. He learned that skill set, his public ministry, because Jewish priests would come when they were 30 years old. So Jesus was about 30 years old when he came on the scene, water baptized with John the Baptist, came out, began the public ministry for about 3.5 years, we believe. But even after his death, we see this, that Paul gets this revelation that we have to have this same attitude, the same humble attitude that Jesus had. He gave up his rights, gave up his privileges. Humbled himself. One translation says, further in obedience, and died a criminal's death, the death on the cross. We follow Jesus in humility. We pray the Lord's Prayer. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my plan, your plan be done. Not my purpose, your purpose be done. I am going to stay under, I humble myself under your mighty hand. That whenever you want to, you can lift me up. You can help me. You can bring me over there. You can give me that new job, get me the promotion. But maybe you're doing something in, evidently, you need me here right now. You need me in this family. You need me living where I'm supposed to. I want to get out. All those things we go through. We process that with not my will, but your will be done. Come on, let's wrap it up. Carlos, help me. Would you do it? Come on, humility. We've been talking about it all morning, but humility is going to require sacrifice. It requires sacrifice. It requires sacrifice. Yeah. Philippians 2 says this, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Guys, this is anti-world. This is anti-North America. Yeah. This is anti-American. Yeah. Think of other people better than me? Don't you know who I am? I don't care who you are. Listen to me. If you got Jesus in you, you got the hope of glory. Come on, everybody. Greater is he that's in you. Come on, everybody. Than he that's in the world. Come on, you go into situations, whether you feel like it, look like it, smell like it. Come on, you are it. Come on, Jesus is in you. Come on, you don't have to come in there and pry it around. And with somebody on the opposite hand, instead of me coming into a situation and wanting to meet somebody that's a little bit further down the road or more powerful or prestigious and them looking over their shoulder at me and not having any time for me. I remember one of those specifically as I'm thinking right now, a pastor I really wanted to meet. I was 28 years old and I went to this meeting. I was in Canada and I was going to meet this person in Seattle and this powerful pastor, huge buildings and kicking the devil's butt. And I'm like going, I want to meet this guy. And I went to meet him and he's like, who are you? And he looked at my little name tag and he's looking over there at my shoulder. I can still picture it. 28, I'm almost 65. I'm old. I still remember it. Proud, arrogant, cocky. Hadn't got time for a little guy. Let's make time in our mind for the people not on the same road we're on right now. We all remember that. But then when you get to be that place, huh? When you get a little something, again, let's keep reaching out to people all around us. Let's lift people up. Let's be a blessing. Let's humble ourselves. Amen, everybody? We're going to take sacrifice. What is it? This is the attitude of humility. This is the attitude of humility. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress. Be humble. Think of others. That's the attitude. And what we said over and over this morning is that humility is going to require servanthood. It requires it. It requires servanthood. Colossians 3 says this, therefore, as the elect of God, holy beloved, put on tender mercy, kindness, put on humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Put it on. Come on, put it on. Put on mercy. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Put on meekness. Put on long-suffering. Listen to me. This is the obedience in humility. The attitude of humility. You know, you can have the attitude of humility, but you never obey it. So the attitude of humility, I know I need to do it. I got it in me. But then when I'm coming to it, I never act on it. No, listen to me. You're the elect of God. You're the chosen of God. You're called by God. Man, don't try to impress anybody. You're beloved by God. You're holy because of his blood. So put on that tender mercy. Merciful to other people. Kind to other people, meek with other people, humble with other people. So to be like Jesus this Christmas season, we got to be humble. If he was, and he showed us the way, took off his robe, wrapped an apron around him, bowed down, washed feet, dried, didn't know, just wash them. What's amazing? I don't know if I really kind of saw it a minute ago, earlier in the day. When he washed their feet, then he dried their feet. A lot of times, I'm just telling you, my confession, here's a sin, is I kind of do something, but I won't go all the way. I want to wash somebody's feet, but I want to hang on long enough. I want to dry their feet. If I'm going to humble myself, let's just go all the way. Let's be extraordinary, humble people. So if you're going to be like Jesus, we're required to live this way. So come on, bow your head, close your eyes. Come on, stand up, but don't do both of those at the same time. Stand up first. I don't want anybody passing out in church. I'm like, they fell over the chair in front of them. Come on, don't do that. Come on, come on. Just like 40 seconds, and then we're gonna have a good day. Go home, hang out, drink some coffee. Come on, while your head's bowed, your eyes closed, here's question number one. Come on, question one. What attitude do you need to change in humility? What attitude? What attitude? With who? With who? Is it your spouse? Is it that crazy teenager? You gotta be the dad, you gotta be the mom. But God's maybe asking you a little different road right now. How about that coworker? How about that person in your small group? Attitude, attitude, attitude. Nobody knows your attitude. What do you need to change in humility? You got it. You got it. That tug in your heart, that picture in your mind, that word in your heart, in your mind. Come on, work on that this week. Bring that to God in prayer this week. Second question, what step of obedience do you need to take in humility? Servanthood. Is there an area of servanthood that you just haven't taken that step? Like I said, I've done something, but haven't done all the way. Help us, Lord God. Help us as your children be like Jesus. Not to be walked on or domineered over, but humility is powerful because we stay under your mighty hand. Father, I pray that we all, as we stay under your hand, we all will experience a due season, a due time, a time that you elevate and you enlarge us, oh God. And we thank you for it. Come on, in Jesus' name. All God's people said amen. Come on, come on. Did you receive the word today? Come on, I know you did. Come on, I know you did. Come on, one more time. This morning, we've had a great, great Sunday. We're gonna do something a little bit different today. If you don't know Jesus, listen to me. If you're here and you're away from him, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, we're gonna have prayer partners up here. We don't do it every week. Sometimes, well, most of the times, we just raise our hand and, you know, say a prayer. We all pray out loud. But if you don't know Jesus, you're away from him. You need him working in your life. You know he's Lord, but maybe you've